Tata Merrill Planning Board, Monday, October 19th, 2020.
I walked out of the shop then at 6:35. It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Good evening. I'm catching up with everybody.
Sounds like Mr. Boucher.
Indeed.
How are you, sir?
I'm good, yourself.
Yeah, I'm good for a little guy.
Ann, you're unmuted. Okay, Ann's unmuted. John is here.
Yep, mine should be good.
Yep, Eric, I hear you. Ann, I even see Ann. Hello? Sorry for being a little late. I was busy letting people in the front door. I don't think we have any other board members. I see attendees who are board members. John, are you there? John Arnold? John Arnold?
Yeah, but you don't have me up on audio or video.
No, I see your name there, but I don't see any video. It must be at your end, because I'm
the other towing place down Route 9, almost in Old Road. it's held in there for racks, and I was concerned about that having leaking through up there. I thought that it would be a good idea for code enforcement or zoning or whoever to be down there and take a look at that and make sure that's not happening so we won't end up with a contaminated aquifer someplace along the line where our private walls are on there and those kind of things. So I think it's an important issue that it gets looked at.
Anything further? If not, the motion.
Motion to approve. As amended.
Second that.
Motion to amend the proof of minutes of the meeting of September 12, 2020 as amended. To the motion, we're in second.
I second.
Yes, I second. Okay, not too controversial, I think. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstentions. Motion carries. First item I have on the agenda this evening, besides following the lesson, is Arrowhead Meadows. We have one of those.
Yes, Travis Mitchell is on. Right, Travis?
Yes, can you still hear me?
Yep.
Yes, Arrowhead Meadows. I was last in terms of community in August. Take a look at the scoop out subdivision. Board had previously approved it in 2010 with 84 lots. We discussed that with the subdivision that 84 lot approval will be no more. Two equally sized lots. We've got a few points back in time in the near future with a fresh look at the subdivision.
So this application right now is for two lots, not for anything we've seen previously. Board, questions? Come on, you can't let them off that easy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The only comment I had here was the dividing lines for the two lots. Yep. If that was in an optimal location to facilitate future subdivision. So, and obviously that line even can be shifted if they were to resubdivide. But other than that, this is a relatively rare occurrence to see a downsizing of a subdivision. So.
That's for sure. Okay, or this is less than one way. Do you want to hold the public hearing? Well, don't everybody answer one.
And the history says yes, but do we really need to do that considering the downsize of the previously approved, 80 lot or whatever it was?
It was approved once, right? So is there really a need for a public hearing?
It's your discretion on public hearings. It certainly is less of the potential for adverse impact goes down dramatically.
If we skip the public hearing out, we don't do it, when the applicant comes before us again for some new vision of this subdivision, if and when, that will then go before public hearing, in that context, correct?
That is true. Well, every time we have an application for subdivision, the public hearing decision has to be made. So, yeah, so we'll be a public hearing opportunity with a re-subdivision of this.
All right. So, given that, I've been, and I know that's deviated from, standard practice, but I'd be okay with waiving the requirement of public hearing on this one.
I agree.
Well, Mr. Bergman, if you wish to put that in the form of a motion that you can state the justification for doing so, please do.
I make a motion that we waive the public hearing requirement for the Arrowhead Metals subdivision, two-lot subdivision.
Justification being that it's already gone through
Justification being that it's downsized from previously approved much larger subdivision. And that any future subdivision of these two parcels will be subject to further public hearings.
It's an odd, it's a very rare occurrence.
Very rare. All right, motion to name Mr. Bergman to waive the requirement for public hearing for Arrowhead Metal subdivision to the motion. Do I have a second?
What's that, Dave?
Who got it? Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
No.
If not, call the roll, please.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Siebel?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Yes. Motion carries. Anything further, board?
I would say that you might want to just consider a reaffirmation of the negative declaration. I don't know that you need to go through a full form because you do have a downsizing here, and like I said, potential for less impact. But you should reaffirm or reacknowledge the negative declaration of the environmental assessment.
Do we have anybody that agrees or disagrees and would like to make a motion of some sort?
Make a motion to reaffirm the original negative declaration for Seeker from Arrowhead. Sorry, just a moment. The Arrowhead Meadows subdivision.
Okay. Motion's been made to reaffirm the negative declaration for the environmental assessment book review for Arrowhead Meadows subdivision. To the motion, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Eric?
Yep.
Motion has been made seconded. Any further discussion?
I just, for clarification, I do. If I'm wrong on this, feel free to jump in, but we're taking a parcel that's a one parcel at the moment, subdividing it into two. Right?
No, it's currently subdivided.
You know, this has gone to the county and it's been subdivided, and now we're taking all those lots and putting them back into just two separate lots.
Right.
So it is approved by the planning board, but not filed.
Yes, yeah, so I was just going to say, I don't think this has been filed in the county.
Okay.
Wait, the drawings on the paper were approved by the town.
Correct.
Signed by the chairman and one other member. But these lots have never been subdivided. There are not a bunch of different lots over there that they're now re-putting together into two single lots.
That's correct.
Okay.
They have not been filed.
All right, so the point I'm getting to is really what we have here in front of us is not a reconcentration. It's basically taking one parcel and dividing it into two parcels. It's a two-lot subdivision. So I'm not really sure why we're reaffirming a seeker on a two-lot subdivision. I'm not sure we even do a seeker on a two-lot subdivision, would we?
We can do a seeker on anything that you want to do.
I submitted a short form, which is what we typically do on a two-lot subdivision. So if you just reaffirm a negative declaration, I guess that's all right, or you can take up the short form that I submitted on a two-lot.
Well, so I guess my question is can we reaffirm a seeker for a multiple lot subdivision and just kind of slide it over onto a two lot subdivision on the same parcel?
As long as the review for the initial subdivision did not bring forth any negative environmental concerns, was a clear subject.
But it definitely means it's lower impact.
Right, of course. That's what I realize it's a lower impact. I just didn't understand whether we even needed to do a seeker for subdividing a parcel of land into two large parcels like that. We're not doing a real subdivision or plan for housing lots at this point.
All right. I think in lieu of John's point, I think he makes a good point because it's really a mix of the two when you think about it. We do have from the standpoint of the seeker assessment, We do have the same piece of land, and the physical makeup of the property remains unchanged.
Right.
So that much is common to the previous assessment that was done. What is different is the action, And so therefore, maybe the better term is a modification of the prior neg deck, not an affirmation, because it is a change, the action has changed. So it would be a modification of the prior negative declaration. Does that sound better, John?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Or would there be any harm in just taking the current form that Travis has given us, and it'd be pretty simple to say, based on this assessment today, this 2-2-1 subdivision doesn't pose a problem.
Either way, I think that's also true.
I'm okay with that.
That's probably the cleanest. That's probably the cleanest, just because it's a new short form. And
I mean, obviously, it's better.
Should I withdraw my motion?
Yeah.
Is that your desire? If that's the case, then we should not approve a motion to re-acknowledge to that motion. All those in favor, aye. Opposed? Aye.
Aye.
Abstention. Motion carries. Which, what is your desire? Would you like to go through a quick run through part two, the impacts from the new application? I think so. The proposed action created a material conflict of the adopted land use plan or zoning resolution. Your chances are no or moderate to large.
No.
Do we have a consensus or no?
No.
Will the proposed action result in changing use or intensity of use of land?
No.
Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community?
No.
Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that caused the establishment of a CEA?
No.
Shouldn't, because we don't have it. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in existing level of traffic or affect existing infrastructure for mass transit, bikeways, or walkways?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Will the proposed action cause an increase in use of energy? And it fails to incorporate reasonable energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities.
No.
Proposed action affect existing public or private water supplies?
No.
Public or private wastewater treatment facility?
No.
Your utilities?
No.
Proposed action impair the character and quality of important historic, ecological, and architectural aesthetic resources?
No.
Proposed action result in adverse change in natural resources, such as wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, fauna.
Nope.
Proposed action result in increase in potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems.
No. No.
Proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health.
No.
No. Based on the foregoing, do I have a motion for the declaration?
I'll make a motion that we declare a negative declaration.
I'll second that.
Motion to declare a negative declaration, voted by Mr. Bouchard. Second by Mr. Arnold. We call a roll, excuse me, any further discussion? If not, call a roll, please.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Siebold?
Yes.
Chairman?
Yes. Motion carries. Do we have further invited to the board?
We need a motion if we want to wait. We need the 30 day. If the applicant wishes for final approval tonight, we thought we were going to grant that. We first have to waive the 30-day waiting period, correct?
That's correct.
You want to make that motion, Jerry? You want me to?
I'll make it. I'll make a motion to waive the 30-day waiting period between preliminary and final approval.
Motion for enthusiasm. motion's been made to waive the requirement for preliminary and final approval being a separate meeting. To the motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Jim. Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, let's call the roll, please.
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mr. Siebold?
Yes.
Chair?
Aye. Motion carries. Or is there anything further that you'd like to do?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold? John?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ann? Sorry, yes. Ms. Perdue. Mr. Siebold?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Motion carries. Or is there anything further you'd like to do before this happens?
Make motion that the chairman and one of the board members sign the Mylars when they're presented at the town.
Motion to make the chairman and one of the planning board sign the Mylars so I have no subdivision when presented. The motion, do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah, that was the end.
Okay. Motion to make a second. Any further discussion? I don't think that one's really too controversial. We need to give acceptatory chance here. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Good night, Travis.
Well, he's got another one.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
I think the final milers are there. If you've got time tonight and want to sign them, and if I should let me know, and I'll come up and grab them. I appreciate it. Thank you all.
And I think we can take care of that, you know, before we adjourn the meeting. So the other thing that happened is Meredith did join us, Adam. So she came out halfway through the review of the prior applicant. So she's now online and in full force. So for you, Trish, just to let you know, Meredith is in attendance.
Hi,
everybody. Okay. So, the next application.
Next item I have on the agenda is Mr. Baker.
And I don't see anybody here. Mr. Chairman, maybe we could proceed to the third applicant, and I'll try and call the agent for Baker.
Very good. I'm sure the next one would want us to do that. Next item on the agenda is Lawn Care Company PLC. We have one of those.
Yes, I think we do. Yes, we do.
We do. Tell us the story.
Dave Whitbeck, are you there? Dave?
You have to unmute.
Yeah, Dave, you have to unmute yourself.
Microphone is not working.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at something that says down.
They could call in instead, correct?
Yes, you can call in. I just have to find the numbers. Yeah, I guess his microphone's not working. Hello, Dave?
Who?
Dave Whitbeck?
No, this is Ty.
Oh, sorry, I got the wrong number, Ty. Sorry.
Yep.
We're doing Dave. Sorry. Yep, talk to you later.
See him in his office. You're back.
Yep.
Alright, he's got a message here. He says he's trying to call in. Number 5 is not working. I see Meredith is sending the number to him again.
Hello, Dave?
Yes.
Okay, we got you on my cell phone speaker. We're doing it the old-fashioned way.
Man, there we go. This seems to be working. I got computers in front of me, tablets, and nothing's working but the phone.
Well, welcome to COVID.
All right. So what's going on? What can I do today?
All right, can you hear that all right, Peter? All right, we're just taking up your application.
Tell us a story. What would you like to do?
Yeah, just tell us about your application, Dave.
We let that applicant in.
And I just think it's a real busy intersection. So if we could go in one way and come out another, I mean, at least allow that on Route 9. When you make a swing coming out on the Nolan Road with your trucks and your trailers and your equipment and stuff, you have to swing it wide and you're in the opposite lane. And I think it's a big safety issue. So that's what I would like to see.
Does it have enough elevation difference? Or less of an elevation difference to become a concern? Is there that?
Well, I think that's obviously Route 9, so that's going to be subject to a state permit. Mm-hmm. And they're going to dictate, you know, how that's configured.
Okay. I think, could that same situation be rectified by just widening the ingress-egress entrance? So that's most of the swing
and that's not we want in our entrance if we could get trucks and tractor-trailers in and out of here.
Well, the other thing is the trucks there, when they're delivering, it's a blind corner going south on 9, turning right on the Nolan Road, and a lot of times those trailers get right across the road, and they bottle up traffic, and it's we've been very fortunate that something has not happened, because again, if somebody's going south on 9, takes a right on the Nolan, you know, you got a couple joggers out there and a tractor trailer across the road. I see some situations where I didn't like it because it's a public safety issue in my opinion.
So right now we're not really having to have any 18-wheel trucks coming in and out. So to be honest, I don't think right now that's an issue. Moving forward, if we're going to push a little bit into the supply end of things, that would be the only thing that ever changed that. And at that point, we'd have to come back and see you for a new approval for that change anyways. So
even right now,
I'm close with making a change for you guys, but I don't know as if right now what we're doing is going to cause any issues.
In my opinion, it is. You know, you got your Kubota that's there tonight with that tractor and trailer on it. That's going to be a wide swing right there when you leave that entrance.
Yeah, it is kind of tight to come off the pole and take a right on 9.
Right.
That with our largest set of rig, it is kind of it's tight.
Yes. So. But I think we should do it now, and then we don't have to worry about it. You know, it only takes months for that to happen. And so I think that's I would like to see that done.
Okay.
So a widening of the driveway?
No, an entrance out on, or an exit out onto the Route 9. So he's not swinging wide with his trailers and stuff. And even his Kubota tractor, it's not a good idea.
I'd like, Dave, could you explain a little bit more what kind of traffic you are experiencing there currently and what you anticipate? I know there's not only your own trucks, but are there customers coming in to visit and look at land and materials?
I'm sorry, this is breaking up a little bit. It's not like you're done talking. So we do have customers currently coming in and out of here. It's very few. Mostly because we're not really established here on the corner yet. But the plan is for customers to be able to come in, stop at the office, make a payment, or even just come check things out. We will have displays out there. Enough room for even larger trucks without a trailer to pull into our customer parking and back out and leave on the normal road. So we have over there. But that's basically it, other than our normal operation, which we only have a few trucks coming in and out throughout the day with trailers attached to it.
So they're just regular trucks?
Yeah, we don't really have any large, like, we don't have dump trucks. I mean, we eventually, probably more likely next year, are going to have all the material that we house for ourselves and also sell to customers that only the Triaxle truck would have to come in and out for
But if you took a triax lot there, you're going to be way over in the opposite lane. I mean, I've driven enough triaxes that I know you're not going to be able to make that swing. So,
I'm sorry, I can't hear what we're speaking.
That was Mike Shaver. He doesn't feel that there's enough room for a triaxle truck to make that turn movement.
Swing from way off Route 9 or back on to Route 9 from Nolan?
No, leaving your place onto Nolan Road. If they were to come out of there, take a right hand.
Yeah, but leaving your site and going on to Nolan.
Right, going toward Route 9. That's correct. And again, that's why I said if we could exit out onto Route 9, I think we could eliminate that safety issue there.
Understood.
I have to ask, I don't know the scale of this, but is there actually enough room to avoid conflicts because he doesn't want to cross that wall? In 2.5 years, he gets to nobody. So there's no instruction there for him to try and get an entrance or an exit, and that will also kill his parking. So what is our alternative?
We're crossing Magnolia.
That was Peter Jensen, and he's saying that there doesn't appear. I think if I could, summarize for what Peter said. He doesn't think there's enough room there to accommodate an exit out on Route 9. It would maybe cause problems with your parking plan and all that kind of thing.
Can we just take the entrance or the exit all the way to the south side of the property where it's adjacent to the National Grid owned property? We wouldn't conflict at all with the customer property. We probably have 20 feet to spare easily to put in the roadway, or driveway rather, to exit out on the night.
Well, if you come along, Dave, you got another board member who wants to make a comment.
Okay. All right, so as we're talking about putting a driveway on Route 9, now we're looking at putting a driveway really close to a major intersection, the Nolan Hoover Road intersection. Of Route 9, there is a traffic light there, which is a step up from the past, when it was stop signs. I would almost ask if we could just put the stipulation into the plan that says no large trucks will leave via North Road right onto South 9. Would that also solve the problem, Mike? I mean, if the truck pulls out of this property, takes a right onto Nolan, and takes a left on Route 9, there's no turn issues then, is there?
Well, John, you even got big trucks in there backing and trying to back into the place, is what I'm saying, too. And the problem is when you come south on 9 to take a right onto Nolan, you cannot see there. And it's a blind corner over. You got tractor trailers or even triaxles stuck across halfway across the road, or even across the road with people walking and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is he could drive in and drive out. And he's talking moving furthest away from the intersection, almost to the apartment buildings right there. I think he would be far enough away from that intersection.
Well, all right, so I guess I'm confused here, Mike, so help me out here.
Okay.
Is the issue turning in and out of his in the egress on Nolan Road or turning from Nolan Road on Route 9?
On Nolan Road.
So
Nolan Road's a town road, okay? It's only so wide. And those trucks have to angle themselves in there and stuff, and it's on a blind intersection, I get this call.
Okay, so basically, if he widened the ingress and egress, he could shorten the arc and actually make that turn without an issue coming from Nolan Road onto his own site. Okay? And I guess, if that's the only issue, as far as I see, that's the easiest way to do it. Widen his entrance so that this truck is sitting in the back.
No,
if you're worried about backing in, I'm not afraid to put on the plan that no truck or vehicle will be allowed to back onto the property on Nolan Road.
out of there, even with his own equipment. He's gonna be coming out and he's gonna be crossing the road, you know. So your definition of a large truck compared to my definition of a large truck would be two different trucks. I think it needs to be one way in and one way out. And we've experienced that with when they were loading and unloading trailers there. And we missed that the first time with that, so.
Well, I just got a couple of comments hearing this dialogue go on. First of all, I think you're going to get hard pressed to get a full movement entrance on Route 9 in this frontage. The best I think they would do, and they might not even do this, is right out only. You know, because of the proximity to the signalized intersection, it's just too close. The suggestion I would have is, and I'm asking Dave this, you know, and to solve this access issue, is there any possibility of relocating the entrance on the Nolan Road further back into the property? Because I think that would alleviate Mike's concern about the blind turn from Route 9 on the Nolan Road and being right on top of your entrance. In other words, if you see on your drawing there where it says North 870332 along Nolan Road, in that area where you have your, right now you're showing in red your bulk material bins, if the entire access could be shifted to there and closed where it is now.
I could move it to basically right exactly where that letter is, for sure.
There's two.
I'm not sure that would actually, I could leave the other one if that worked for you guys. If that would work as in and out, it just wouldn't put you back at 9.
You know, historically there was two entrances to this property. You know, going back several uses or several tenants. There's the existing, you know, ingress that's going on the front. And then, Jim, right where you just suggested, where the North 870332 is, there was several tenants ago a driveway there. That I think that this board, you know, the landowner across there, or somebody, you know, complained. And they took it out voluntarily. But historically, there has been an ingress egress further down the road, which would alleviate, you know, that stuff.
Well, I guess my thought was the basic principle that you want the driveway as further away from the intersection as you can get.
Yes.
And right now, it's as almost as close as you can get. So,
yeah.
And I think that's what's caused the problem. I understand the preference maybe of a neighbor across the street, but I think an overriding concern is the safety of the traffic, as Mike is saying. So
if we made a truck entrance only in the back and had a customer or just employee, small truck, whatever it is, entrance right where it already is, what if we removed a huge section of that split rail? And made it, when we're talking 60 feet, but then you can get almost anything to 60 feet.
That's worth a try.
Yeah, that would fit all your ankles and everything. You know, you wouldn't be crossing into the things like that would solve the issue.
That was really wide.
I mean, I guess regardless, the only thing that wouldn't be able to happen is taking a right off of Nolan on the 9. And I suppose that's an issue with anybody who's driving back to this.
With any trailer.
Yeah, that's all the driver, because I drive big trucks and trailers, you know, somewhat frequently, and you can make that turn, you just have to set yourself up for it. You know.
And that's something you can control. That's the alignment of the town road with the state road,
yeah.
Right? There's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah.
But we can attempt to address a safety concern about access in and out of the property.
So what if I remove that whole section of split rail that runs down basically along customer parking, the whole section? I mean, I'll have to put up gates so we can secure our property in the back, but it would leave the whole side of our building wide.
As long as it fits, you know, it's going to be a bit of a layout. See if the bulb makes it more sense.
Well, Dave, what's going to happen if the board agrees to this? We're going to have a resubmitted site plan, you know, that shows all these changes and modifications.
Understood. Yeah, that's no problem. Looking forward until the next meeting.
Peter Jensen wanted the point to be made that we're not trying to give you a hard time here. This is done from the point of view and the perspective of public safety. So that's the reason for site plan review. One of the fundamental things is making sure that we consider the safe movement of vehicles, and that's the primary concern here. It's not about you, it's a tough site. So we're just trying to make this operate as best as it can and as safe as it can in lieu of what you want to do with it, or in consideration of what you want to do with it.
Yeah, there's no worries at all. I understand completely. I had a couple conversations down in town hall with you guys, and with Mr. Carter there.
Okay, so if I could just discuss something else that's on the plan. You have up listed on the front here a really nice purple marker, a proposed fencing. What is that fencing going to be?
Let's see. Well, I believe it's already done. We got that one. We got to sign the book on that. Look that up. That was just because you were having people drive right across the lawn. I have a few videos from our surveillance saved to my phone where people, including Spectrum giant truck, I don't know what that thing weighs, probably a good 30,000 pounds, driving right across our lawn in the middle of the night at 10 o'clock when we're trying to install grass and lawn and what irrigation does. We're trying to make this property basically sell what we're capable of doing. We had that issue, so we did ask to be able to put that up, and it's already installed and stained. At this point,
right, I was a little bit garbled. If this isn't a privacy fence, then this is just
no. It's a split rail fence you see there now, John.
It actually looks really nice.
Well, okay. and the justification behind allowing the fence to go up in advance of site plan review is the business owner here pointed out that people were cutting the corner. They were actually driving through his driveway, through his parking lot, through his lawn area, and then on the Route 9, and not bothering to go to the signal at the intersection.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure, because I haven't been buying a lot, so that makes sense. I actually was uncomfortable with the previous trailer sales thing. There were occasionally when I drove by, people were parked on the edge of Route 9 walking in to look at the trailers.
Right.
So I actually like the idea of having a perimeter fence. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a privacy one. So,
I agree with John, because I was worried about it too, with the other rubber pad on it. And that sometimes serves as a turnaround. I know I had to turn around and I forgot something. And when the gate was there, it would be unsafe. So I would like to see no gate unless you'd have to come back and really felt like you needed a gate to draw.
I already kind of feel like I do need a gate to be honest, but we're going to remove that. That whole side of the gate would have to be rearranged anyways to only the back part of the property. It's really just to serve as protection to our assets, and that's it. Technically, we don't want it, but we do need something to protect our assets.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going along the back side. You're going to put a fence up there at all, privacy fence. I know with all the leaves and stuff gone out there now, you can see a pile of whatever you got up against the building and stuff. And if you could cover that up, I think it would look better.
Yeah,
springtime after the leaves come up and everything, you can't see it. But now, you know, coming towards 9, I know when you can see a lot.
That was Mike. He was asking if a privacy fence could be installed in the back as a screen against some of the things that are being stored in the rear yard right now. Because when the leaves come off the trees, you can see it pretty clear.
For sure, that was definitely something I had already thought about, just from the perspective of what people with ill intent might see looking in from that side, I suppose. So the thought was that our bulk material bins will cover about a third of that, and then we were hoping to put some sort of a privacy, whether it, you know, be stocking or whatever materials, I suppose, but you said are reasonable risk.
What kind of material are you going to have back there?
Say that again.
What kind of material?
What kind of materials are you going to have in the vault storage bins?
I will have, like, river stone, number two river stone, a couple different colors of mulch, stone dust, and rubble, which we use for patio bases, some top coil, and then in the winter time, we're going to build, next winter, we're going to build a salt bin, but that will all be encased in cement, so it's not on the ground.
Is there any permit required for salt bins now?
Not to my knowledge, but we can check with DEC.
Okay, so that relates to what kind of hours you're going to be working. It says here in your application that you're going to be leaving there by 5 in the afternoon. We're not going to hear trucks out there loading sand and salt trucks and plow trucks starting and idling and warming up, because there is a noise ordinance in the town. I haven't not lived too far from there, so I don't want to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning hearing, you know, trucks idling and beepers going off and loading trucks and that kind of thing. That doesn't work at all for me.
So I'm not sure how we would be able to operate in the wintertime when it's snowing. We have to be out all night. Then we have to have somewhere to load salt and sand into our coppers to get. Get back out on the road and treat parking lots for people by, you know, some of those other places by 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. And then in some rare cases where we have ice storms, we have to keep up on it all night long, spreading salt and everything, that there just isn't anywhere else for us to put those materials. I mean, I don't necessarily want trucks in and out of here either at 2 o'clock. The way I always looked at it was we're doing a service and snow doesn't tell us what time we get to work.
Right.
So fortunately we all suffer that little tiny bit to be able to keep up our effort storm, you know, for the greater good.
I understand that. We have people who live in a residential area that have young children, there's older people, and they don't want to hear that stuff at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm one of those people. So my opinion, not even my opinion, my thought is that that's not going to be able to happen. Because if we have a public hearing on this, I can tell you the people in that area will not be happy.
I'm sure. And I almost look at it like no matter what goes in here, there's going to be a few people that aren't happy. So with that one right there, I got to say I wasn't prepared to have some solution that puts us in the right with the 5 or 6 people that it could affect.
It's more than 5 or 6.
I have an answer to that.
It's more than 5 or 6. And those beepers and those trucks that they're right one night and stuff. I know I've done a lot of sand and salt and pollen myself, so I know it goes on, and I don't think it's the right place to have that kind of business, in my opinion.
Yeah, so David, you can operate a snow removal business from this location as well. That's your plan?
Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with landscaping. We manage the grounds year round at our commercial properties. Most of our residential properties don't require any type of salt exam, but our commercial, they do.
I guess a big question for what is the zone for it?
Out of curiosity,
the other option is to try to venture out and look for some type of auxiliary lot to store ourselves in in a more commercial district.
How many of your trucks have backup people?
Right now, none of them have
backup people.
How about your loading equipment? You're tracking the holding in the
backup people? Yes. Nothing the operating here has backup people.
Yeah, it's all smaller trucks, John. I got by there.
Well, the most of landscapers run pickups or one tons. But yeah. Some of them do have beepers on them. I just didn't know if any of his did. How many nights a year do you think, on average, you're running trucks all night salting for ice?
I would say, well, most storms happen in the evening or nighttime, but as far as all night, once or twice a year, we're out there dealing with like a sleet storm or freezing rain storm where we're stuck in the middle of the night dealing with a salt application.
So if we were to put a stipulation, on the site plan that we want to limit the backup beepers between certain hours and no trucks idling unnecessarily during those hours, that would be reasonable, right?
Oh, for sure. We don't typically use backup beepers. I suppose if our lights are a problem, as far as our beacon lights, that they're very bright for safety. We can even make sure we shut those off so that they're not blinding, or waking people up shining through the windows.
Yeah, you don't have to have beacons on your site. You need them out on your plow on site when you're reloading for salt or sand, right?
Correct.
So, and this is a commercial site.
In fact, it's not safe for us to actually have the beacons on when we're loading because they're so bright.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And can you clarify how much parking you're planning to have on this site for trucks and trailers? I see you've marked it off on your site plan, but it's a little fuzzy what you actually intend in terms of number and size.
Yeah, there's, I've honestly, that section was pretty much 50 by 50. It's 50 by 65. In some areas, we can park two trucks and trailers right in front of each other, but others we couldn't because of the, the trailer would be too long. So I suppose we could easily get it in and without it looking like a circus back there, six to eight trucks with trailer street. Right now we only have four total trucks, two staying here overnight, two come home with me and my business partner. And we attach to those during the day. And to be honest here, the move to this site is more based on a possibility of future supply, where I don't know if long term operating a landscape company is going to be something we can do here. As far as size goes, we can easily operate here for the next 5 to 6 years, but hopefully we're looking more towards 7 o'clock to 5:30 supply house.
So this is more of a retail operation, or it's going to evolve to that and wholesale?
Yeah, that's the plan, is to get it to evolve to a retail location for materials, and that's why it makes perfect sense if you think we can't get trucks in and out of here safe to set it up, so we can, because trucks will be hauling materials in it.
I think Yeah, that would be the guy.
From the standpoint of a community, would you say that the activity that's planned now for this site is substantially busier than the prior years?
Oh, no, I definitely don't think that we're busier than the previous kind of year. As far as traffic goes in and out, I would say equal or less. You know, we have probably 8 hours a day. There's probably only 5 or 6 trucks in and out, and they won't even have trailers. That includes customers. I can't say for sure what they'll fall into, but we won't. We're not trying to push a retail location that's going to have people in and out of the door every 30 seconds. This is more to cater towards landscapers.
Okay, do you have any further questions of us?
Hey, Pete?
Yes.
A question for Pete.
Well, I wanted to ask a question of David just quickly. We talked a lot about you going out and plowing snow and doing all this stuff. Where do you plan on storing the snow that you have to plow off your parking lot?
Mostly just to the edge of the parking lot. I mean, if we have to put a pile in the back left corner where all of, or basically just about all of the water drains through our property, and that there we would pile it. But there, I would say right off, let's see, looking at the map, if there's a line going from customer parking, from the lettering to the actual parking space, we would push most of that over to where it says sign post and off that whole side where that curve is. And then the rest of it would go out back pretty much between, over where all those material, like the pallets, where it's all these purple, there's all those squares back left corner. I don't know which way you're looking at it.
No, I see what you're talking about. It just seems that my comment is that there's a lot of you're maximizing the use of the space here, which is fine. I just want to make sure you have enough room to be able to function.
We have a site location in Saratoga where we haul snow when our businesses get too packed. We have a spot where we haul it right out of there with a loader and a triaxle. So if we're ever in a position where we kind of, keep our own snow on site, we can haul, we'd be hauling it out towards, out in Northumberland.
Okay.
Or did you brought it for the second?
What about your portable shed there? You said you're going to put another one out there?
What about this portable shed?
Are you going to have a second one?
I'm kind of hoping to, just for the wintertime, to be able to put some of our mowers in and keep them out of the weather. I don't think I have room anywhere here to do any more than that, but I think two side by side in that spot wouldn't look too awful from the front.
They are allowed, but you can speak to where they want to be positioned.
Yeah, well, they're right out there in the front of the building.
Is there a better location where they're not right out in front and seen from the roadway? Can they be positioned more towards the back of the property or where they're not going to be seen?
Well, if we do that, then we'd have to move something else in that location. So I thought that would be a better barrier to block what's going on in the back than putting pallets of papers over there, or pallets of irrigation pipe or something that is a little hard to look at compared to some green storage thing. It's definitely movable, but the space, we pretty well maximize the plan for the space.
And how far back are the bulk material bins from Nolan Road? What's it said back there?
Well, they're not building up, but it'd be roughly 25 feet off of the pavement.
25 feet?
Yeah, from the pavement. So there is a stockade fence that was previously installed there, and we would, and I want to say that thing is 20 feet off the road, and then our plan was 25 feet off of that.
So that fence will stay up?
Correct.
David, that fence will stay where it is, the one that's 20 feet back?
I'm sorry, I
didn't listen. You said there's a stockade fence 20 feet from Nolan Road?
Yeah, it's 15 or 20 feet, I can't remember off the top of my head. We never, like, didn't really measure it. I never found a reason to measure it, but yeah, I'm saying, just guessing without looking at it, we're probably 15 to 20 feet off the road.
And that fence would stay,
and then we would build our bins, which we're not going to do a concrete bin back there. Our plan is to use wood and stain it, use larger timbers. We have a friend who has a sawmill, so the plan was to build them out of timbers and stain it, so it still looked nice. So I suppose even if we replace that fence with the wall and the bin, it would probably, by the time we were done, nicer than that fence.
I think it would probably be helpful when you come back with this, actually put the dimensions and the measurements for the things you're proposing, whether it's parking or leasing existing fences and how far they are from the property line and so on. I mean, it's a very interesting sketch, pretty. But having some specifics in terms of those measurements would be exceedingly helpful in understanding what you're doing here.
I understand. I didn't look at it because everything was here. It just wasn't a blank canvas that I just decided I was not just utilizing exactly everything that is here. Were we going to add anything other than the maps, which is already done? So I guess I didn't really see any when there was already parking in the front, parking on the side. There's already a stockade fence in the back to get into that much detail. So I apologize. I can certainly provide all that with I submit a second proposal if we have to remove that fence off the solid road to open up for trucks and trailers to get in.
Yeah, I think we're going to be looking at a refined site plan here in a little more detail and scale. But if you come in the office, we can talk about that in greater detail.
Okay.
How many people do you plan on employing there? How many employees will be parking there?
It's hard to say. We've had our max this year, but at 9 employees and only 3 vehicles were parked here. So, in retrospect to the parking, compared to the amount of employees we have, there seems in this business to always be a lot less vehicles being parked per employee.
So you have enough parking for your employees?
I would say that I do. Especially if we move that fence and put our parking all the way along the whole side of the building, I would say we have more than enough parking for our employees.
Thank you.
I guess turnabout is fair play. Do you have any further questions of us?
Do you have any further questions for the board? Punch list of items that have resulted from the discussion. So we all understand, you understand what you need, and the board is understanding what they're going to hopefully get next month. So we'll go through that list, you know, before we move on. Yes, he wants to put his, and we've been withholding the office until, you know, we get a chance to talk to the board. Because we've already got an enforcement issue here, so.
Okay.
He's asking for assignment.
Board opinion.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, there's been assignments or business so far. Believe the posts are still up?
Yes.
Absolutely no problem.
I don't think anything has been brought up tonight as a game changer anyway. So I don't think anything's going to stop this moving forward. So I don't have a problem with the sign going up.
Bouchard?
Jerry?
You're muted, Jerry.
All right, Slade, I got up at 2:30 this morning, so you're going to bear with me. Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
John?
Yes.
Yes. Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
I said yes.
Gotcha. Mr. Shaver?
No.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mrs. Mathias?
Yes.
And Chairman?
Aye. Okay, I think we generally have your consensus. Your best course of action is to get together during the day with Mr. Martin and go over all the items that he would be expecting you to submit for if you wish to get on the agenda for the next meeting.
Okay, are you hearing that, Dave?
I'm strong.
Okay, what Peter suggests is that you and I get together and go through the list of items that you need to submit by the next submission date. And my phone is being used for this purpose, so let me my calendar up. The next submission date will be Monday, November 2nd, for a meeting on November 16th. So you'll have to have the site plan modified and the issues indicated And then we'll need 11 copies of that again.
Okay, is that another electronic copy?
Yes, another electronic copy as well.
And you said the next meeting is on the 16th?
That's correct.
Okay. And you and I can get together sometime in the next week here? And
yes. Yes, but I first of all want to go over the list so everybody here on the call and in the meeting, we all understand what the list is. But yes, you and I can get together anytime at your convenience. So, Peter, you want to go through the list?
Yeah, let's run it.
All right. So, what I have so far is reconfigure the access. So there is a second entrance shown from Nolan Road, and it is to be signed with a truck-only entrance. So your site plan will have to show where that new entry point is and a new location for the sign that says, you know, trucks only. All right, and then the general comment on the site plan overall is I think we have a good schematic here of what how this is going to operate, but we need to have things to scale and then their detailed location.
Okay.
Even if it exists, you know, in terms of like parking, employee parking, all that has to be reshown, drawn to scale, so this site makes sense. I think, like I said, this is a good schematic here, but now we need to get real. In terms of your fixed storage bins, you know, for your storage of materials, this area indicated as a truck and trailer storage overnight, you know, that's got to be more detailed. So that's in terms of the plan. Then in terms of operations. There's a commitment to no beepers on any of your vehicles. Okay.
So if I was to install beepers, basically I just install them onto the switch, right? So as long as we're not using them here, we're still.
Yes.
I'm not sure I represent yet.
Yes.
Yeah,
the answer to your question is yes, because you might have motion considerations and things like that. I understand.
Okay.
All right. And then, so, you know, we need a quantification of the parking for customers and for your employees and for your vehicles. So those are the three types of parking that appear has to be accommodated based on the discussion.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, sure.
Mike, over on the beepers, could we tell them about the idling of the trucks? If you don't want the trucks idling and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there'll also be a commitment to the reduction in idling or keeping it at an absolute minimum.
Okay, good.
That
might
be some gas. And then I have to check on a weight limit for Nolan Road. That's not, nothing to do with you. That's just something I can get for background information. You should show your snow storage areas for the snow storage off of your property. And then when we're talking about, you know, the layout of the site in more detail and scale, the two portable sheds, where they're going to go and you know, at the proper size, having them indicated. And that's all I have, Peter. I didn't know if you had anything else or another board member has an item from your list.
No, that's probably mine.
Mike, did you have anything else?
The salt sand bin?
Yes.
Is that going to need to be covered, or is that going to be a DEC thing?
Okay, that's a good question.
Yeah. I'm not sure of that, Jeff.
Okay, DEC permitting for salt storage.
Yeah.
Is this an open bin, Dave?
The plan is for it to have a soft concrete pad below it so that we're not causing these leakage from the soil to the soil.
Yeah, okay, I will check on that. That's on my list. And when you and I get together, hopefully I'll know by then.
We still have test wells there from the GE site.
Right. Anything else, Mike? Any other board member who's on virtually?
I have a quick comment. I would just like to think, I think it's important that we state that we don't want him to have to be using or the noise of the beepers is the issue. I don't want this board directing him to not use beepers because that's a safety issue. It's about the hours that they're being used.
Okay, good point.
How does the noise ordinance in the town work? There is a noise ordinance regardless commercial or what you want.
I don't know. I don't want to lock this down any more than it is right now.
Yep.
But I'm speaking from a safety standpoint. I don't want to go on the record saying that I was part of a group that told him not to put beepers on something. Something is run over.
I agree. So we do have a noise ordinance to be able to follow.
I think the simplest solution, Mr. Martin, is that the use of backup alarms will be minimum as necessary.
Okay. Did you hear that, Dave? Use of backup alarms or beepers will be at a minimum as necessary.
Okay. Yep, fair enough.
In other words, no circumstances driving the horse.
Any other board members online that had any other comments? Did we miss anything on the list?
I guess my question is if he can get this all together and get turned in time, do you want to schedule a public hearing for this proposal? I'm not hearing a lot of enthusiasm for that. So.
I think there should be a public hearing.
Well, there has to be a public hearing. I'm just wondering if we should schedule it for next month or wait until we see what the next rendition of the plan is.
I'd like to see a revised plan first.
Okay.
I can go. As well.
I can go
without waiting right now, right?
Right.
Do you understand that, Dave?
What's up?
That the public hearing will not be next month. We're going to look at your revised site plan and make sure it's up to snuff. And if it is, then we'll schedule a public hearing for December.
Sure. I mean, it's not really about a highly operated part of our station anything, so sure, whatever, but if you guys can use it.
Okay. So I'm hearing a consensus on not having a public hearing scheduled for November and put off until potentially December.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
And it does look really nice out there. It's a 100% improvement.
I heard that.
I heard that one.
That came through loud and clear.
Yeah,
I don't know how that one's going to slip by.
Yeah, good job. It looks very nice.
Thanks.
Cool. All right, are we all set with the TLC application?
I believe so.
You want a motion to table?
We don't need the table. We need an open public hearing.
Okay.
So
Okay. All right, Dave, I think you got the list then.
I sure do.
All right.
All right. Don't forget to come in and see Mr. Martin.
All right. I'll see you in the next week or so.
Yes, you will.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Yes, sir.
Hang it up. Bye.
My other question is, Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Are you on my list?
Yes.
Oh.
And battery life is even pretty good, too. I do have a number now to reach the other applicant.
Mr. Baker?
Yeah, it's going to be Bill Rourke on his behalf.
Huh.
His agent. So, do I want to try that?
All right.
Hello?
This is Jim Martin calling from the Rural Planning Board meeting.
Yes, I'm just looking for a bill for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Bill, you're here, huh?
Yes.
Do you these modern high-tech conveniences called phones? Well, I didn't know if you were on there. Are you still on, Bill? Let me see if you're on there.
We're on. I see you people.
All right. Well, hold on. Let me see if I can get a talk. Because you're coming up as Bill, correct?
Yeah.
You got to unmute yourself if you know how to do that. Yeah, there. I'm going to hang up on the phone now. You're on.
All right, good.
Hello, Bill?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. That's much better.
Tell us a story.
I'll tell you the story. Eric Baker is acquiring 10 acres from his family. And there's an existing home there. There's an existing barn, as I show on the my map. And it's it's 5 acre minimum. He's obtaining 10 acres. Then Mott Road, north side of Mott Road. There's existing driveways, existing everything. So it's mainly he's cutting off 10 acres. And it was owned by his father, this estate. It was about 70 acres total. So he's just going to acquire 10 acres. That's it.
Okay. Now, are we creating several lots or just creating this one lot from a master parcel?
We're creating 4 lots from a master parcel. And if you recall, see Peter, the area that says area conveyed to John Margaret Baker, 5.18 acres?
Yep.
That was a 2-lot subdivision that occurred relatively recently. Okay? And then, so we had the balance of the property on the west side of Route 32 and on the east side of Route 32 and north of Mott Road. And it was property booked across Route 32. So you now have, as he's numbered them, lot 1, which is on the west side of 32, and lots 2, 3, and 4. And 4 is quite large. That extends, it's rectangular, extends further down Mott Road. And those are the 4 lots.
More questions?
And did we get anything back from the county?
They were notified. We didn't get any comments back. Let me just see if I got. Yeah, no, we didn't get anything, no. They were notified, though. It went out on the October 7th.
So, would we still expect to get comments from them?
We might. I don't know of any county impact, so. But I can't speak for them.
So this is a 4-lot subdivision. We normally require some level of tool or spot elevation, adjacent landowners, things of that nature.
Right.
Those streets are. If we are, if this is a 4-lot subdivision, we can fully map lot number 4.
I think that's on sheet 2, isn't it?
Oh.
That's the second sheet.
Okay. I didn't even open up sheet 2.
Right, it's not okay.
So, yeah, so we have total and adjacent landowners.
have a question about weapons the last time, too. And there are some maps in there, so that.
Yeah, the, I did look that up, Ann, and what came up on the county pictometry is the there is in lot one in what would be the northeastern corner there is a, there appears to be a NWI qualifying wetland. There is no DEC wetlands anywhere on the site.
Did you look at the DEC number?
Yep.
Okay, I'll look at that too. It's close enough. The buffer may get it too.
Well, if it is there, then it needs to be shown, you know, on the subdivision. If the boundary is there on the property.
So this is in the Navajo District, R5. So I would think we also need to assess the impacts. It may be that there are none, but I think we need to go through an assessment. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That be part of the environmental assessment form?
To a degree, but not specifically. I wouldn't characterize it as in-depth.
Jim, did you receive the environmental short form?
Yes, I gave it to the chairman before the meeting tonight, and it's in the file.
All right.
But we didn't have it in our packets?
No, it was on my desk tonight when I came in, so I made copies for those who were here in attendance, and it is in the file. I can scan it in and email it to everybody tomorrow.
That'd be fine.
The other side was not flagged up. I don't know why.
Right.
That may be because they were, that's the side that was affected by the subdivision of that lot out of those remaining lands?
Possibly.
I think there's a concern. We're looking at a possible parcel that was subdivided by 29.3 acres, and if these wetlands are substantial, you may find it difficult to get a driveway even in there. So that's why I guess I'd like to see them, the totality of those wetlands.
I
don't have to be planned. I just if you have a map for it.
I printed out an aerial photo, John, that overlays the wetland boundaries.
Okay.
And I don't know, Bill, where you got the DEC, but this is saying these are NWI wetlands, National Wetland Inventory wetlands, and there's only one in the upper right corner of Lot 1, the northeasterly corner of Lot 1 is the only place the wetland shows. There's not a, and then obviously the pond on Lot 3, but other than that, there's not a DEC wetland anywhere near the edges of this property. There is a stream to the northwest that has a linear DEC wetland on it, but that's one property to the northwest.
All right.
Okay. So I don't know where the DEC term came from, but it's not on the maps.
All right. I'll correct that. But that is the only wetland.
It's an NWI wetland. It's Army Corps, but it's not DEC.
All right. Okay. I'll correct it.
I have this image. I will email this to everybody so you can see what I'm talking about.
All right. I'll put it down as per that image because they didn't flag the north half. So I'll put it on for that image. All right.
Yeah, I mean, I short of having a biologist go out there and flag it, I don't know what else to do.
All right.
All right. Well, so I guess it goes back to my question: how confident are we can have a map that's acceptable by the next meeting or in time for the next meeting to be able to call a public hearing on this?
Well, yeah. By November 2nd, is that?
That's correct.
Yeah. All right.
And if, Bill, just a reminder, if the board does decide to schedule a public hearing, you're going to need to have a sign posted on the property as well.
Right. Right.
Two signs on this, one in the road.
Probably would be a good idea.
All right. Two signs.
One on Route 32 and one on my road.
All right.
That makes sense.
All right.
Board, is there anything further that you'd like to see on this from Mr. Rourke?
So we have all slots are available for public hearings in November.
I mean, if we need to see like any well or septic that's with the existing home.
They're existing, but in Charlotte, London.
Oh, okay.
You may not want to.
Well, not worth it. Probably should. Yeah, just to make sure it's not a lot too.
That's a good point.
All right. Well,
63 feet from the residence.
Well, you just like to make sure that whatever system they're using is contained on the property.
All right.
Yeah.
We should lose.
That's for Lot 3, right?
For Lot 3, yes.
I mean, I guess if you were going to evaluate the impact of this in the agricultural zone, into the ag lands that are part of it. Might be good to know the soil types on site, but I'm not really sure there's a huge impact to the agricultural use in the current designation of what they're doing as far as the subdivision goes. Now, obviously, lot number two is 10 acres. It doesn't have to be a building site. It could be 10 acres of farmland. They could put a house on it and still farm 9 acres of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure there's a huge impact, but if you were to try and evaluate the impact, it would be nice to know what soils are involved. That would come right out of Saratoga County soils.
Yeah.
They should have that on there.
We also did that assessment before the public hearing. I mean, it's that day or same evening, but it's something we need to do formally before the public hearing.
I would think for collection of information, sure. I mean, you're presenting that as part of the public hearing, I would think. But then again, the new ruling on seeker, I don't necessarily know that I agree with that either. Or, you know, as far as how we're supposed to do that before or after the public hearing, so.
So we are
trying to put it into our presentation.
Okay, so Carla never got back to us on that question?
No, at all.
I mean, certainly something you can put right on the map, right, Anne?
Yeah.
It could be something to put right on the map, what the soil types on the site are.
Yeah, but I think agricultural assessment is part of the seeker determination, right?
Yep.
And again, based on what we've heard, we're supposed to do the seeker before the public hearing.
Yes.
And in the public hearing, in terms of different information, you revisit, I think, the seeker.
That's the way I understand it.
I think we just need to have a plan on our agenda that we can get that out of the
way. Right.
Well, I tell you, I was upset that you called working and slipped them in before me. Jeez, I thought I could sneak ahead. We were back in front of you in June earlier this year with a 5-lot subdivision for this same parcel. And we got some comments and we went through some things and I met with Jim and we were looking at changing the zoning, and when I came back and we talked about it, we said, you know what, maybe we just go in and do a 3-lot subdivision, and kind of takes away a couple of the things that we had concerns about, and it may just remain forever just that 3-lot subdivision, or if somebody in the future maybe comes up and wants the part of the big one, maybe we'll come back. But right now, we're thinking that it's just going to be a 3-lot subdivision. Both lots are, they were subdividing off right around 3 acres, and the remainder is about 65 acres. The lots all have frontage on all the ABC, so lot C is a large one, and it has a little bit of frontage on Spire Falls Road, which there's no access allowed there. I know that we were thinking that perhaps there might be a water supply, depending on what commercial use comes in there. The commercial lot, who knows what will go there. As far as stormwater is concerned, we didn't do anything for that lot because who knows what it could be. What we did do is a limited SWIP for the residential lots, and there's going to be less than 5 acres of development. Just requires a limited SWIP, and we actually have it. Sheet 3, I believe, has it, and I think there's some details on sheet 2. Water and sewer would be, for the residential lots, would be both on site. We haven't been out to do test holes on our site, but we did 3 lots across the road previously, and the soils were good there. So we're expecting the same thing. I'm thinking that's about it. You can see on the map, there's many, many wetlands that are on the site. We do have a little chart that tells you which ones are which, whether they're Army Corps or not. The remainder of them are deep sea wetlands. We do show on there all of the separations, the setback requirements, or the buffer requirements. And that's been all served by Gilder and Associates, and it's been approved by Army Corps. I don't know if anybody has any questions. I think one of the things that we would like to do is, I think it's a pretty simple thing. There's 3 lots. I think we've done everything that we would do if it was a final thing. Anything else we could add on there, unless somebody has comments, we could waive the public hearing, and I talked to Jim about that earlier, and then we could possibly waive the 30-day period. That would be fantastic. See, you guys some time, you'd probably be happy about that. We'd have to talk to me again. But anyway, that's, I don't know if anybody has any questions or.
Well, Mr. Robinson, we're always delighted to be able to talk to you. Board, do you have any questions or comments for Mr. Robinson? Or Mr. Bobby, whatever.
Mr. Stewart is actually with me.
I have a couple of questions. Good to hear your voice, Gary. This is John Arnold.
Thank
you. The entrance on the so you don't even have it listed as a proposed driveway. You have a broad driveway for lot C.
Yes.
It's not proposed, there's no dimension to it or anything. The entrance to that old Saratoga road, how far from your section is that entrance?
You can see why we did what we did with it, right?
Yes.
Just because that left hand there and kind of cuts it off.
But yeah, I wasn't using an accusatory tone when I asked that question.
Okay, yeah, it's about 300 feet away.
Awesome. I was actually asking that just for information, because if you were to move it to the other side of the wetlands, then you're right next to the residence, to the current residential property there. So there's a portion of that, and I'm concerned anytime we do something that locks up land use, and I don't think this three-lot subdivision here is doing that. I think it's just nature that's doing that. But you can maybe help me with this, Gary. That proposed drawing of the road you have there goes right through the buffer area of two wetlands. Is that something that's been approved by Army Corps, or is that just something that you're showing it could possibly be attempted?
It could possibly be attempted.
Okay.
We've had success before with DEC and that. They're pretty reasonable.
Okay. That's all I really had. The rest of it, I actually like what's been proposed here.
Along with that, if this is a commercial lot, anyone going on this lot would have to come back to the site plan review anyway, and we would tweak it at that time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess my thing here was if it wasn't something that was approvable, I want those lines just erased. And then we could just, whoever came forward, we could come up with home lines. But more than anything, I was just curious myself.
If I'm looking at this map correctly, it seems that lot B is in part in a C1 zoning classification. And the house itself is in C1. Doesn't that require a variance?
Well, if you notice, I think Gary was careful in his labeling. On lot A, he called it proposed house. On lot B, he just calls it proposed. So I don't think that, I think he recognizes that that's not a house. And to answer your question, yes, it would be a use variance to have a house there, but I don't think that's what he's proposing.
Yeah, I thought from the letter that came with it, they were recognizing that it's going to hang.
And I think there was something that may happen. If somebody does buy that, they may want to come in and get that changed. We were going to do that when we were doing the five-lot subdivision. But with this one, we're just keeping the zoning the way it is.
Okay, so this is pretty much right across the street from Malibu Boat Place?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then a little bit up the road, there's another site being developed for some purpose that I'm not aware of, which has been clearing it for several years now. And
that's the three lots that Stuart Bobby subdivided, I think, a couple of years ago now.
Yep.
Yeah, those are the new owners that are doing that. Stuart Bobby doesn't own that property anymore.
My understanding is there's a rumors of a pending site plan coming for that.
Board, okay. Further questions?
Dan was going somewhere with that. I was just adding that for information, that that's what proposed across the road is this three-lot subdivision for commercial.
Yeah, it looks like it's... It looks like one of them is residential. Lot A. Lot B, I guess, is part residential, part C1, and there's a proposed building, which I guess if it's on the other campus side, which is C1, it would have to be a commercial enterprise.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
From my standpoint, if somebody comes in to see me for lot B, I'm going to strongly suggest it. A zone change we sought to extend that boundary line for the for the R2 zone, so it tracks that property boundary, and it all is, lot B is all in R2.
So what is the real lot, usable lot size here?
I'd say it's probably under a little under an acre.
Yeah, that's about right. It's about a little under an acre.
Jim, is there something in our code that allows them with a disturbance over an acre that they don't have to do a full SWIP?
No. It has to be under an acre.
If it's residential, if it's under 5 acres and it's residential, then it would require a permit.
We know that then. It's mixed lots to say that it's a limited SWIP if you're going to clear a lot of land over an acre and it's not all residential.
That if that lot remained commercial, and they would, if for it to be commercial, they would clear less than an acre of that lot.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something we're going to track.
Yep.
If somebody comes in front of you, that many wetlands in a nearby.
Are we creating an undersized lot?
I was just going to answer.
Because the minimum lot area I see in C1 is 1 acre. So, I mean, I understand it's a lot split by two zones, but what's it going to look like when somebody comes in and wants to put in a commercial enterprise? We wouldn't allow them to put that on the residential part of the lot without somebody adjusting the lot. And if they didn't want to adjust the lot, and they'd be putting a commercial enterprise on an area that's less than an acre. And it's not like it's pre-existing, non-conforming, or is it? Because that triangle, as it exists right now, is cut off by the existing residence that lives there, that is to the north. East.
Yeah, to the east. Yeah.
Well, there's that triangle lot that is, it's already the size that it is in terms of the commercial area. You're not changing that.
Right. That's exactly the way it is.
So I guess it's identical. We're not creating that undersized lot.
No.
This is very instructive as to why split zone lots are an absolute pain in the neck.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure we're not doing something
safe.
Could I be clear about it? But this was in front of us earlier. Right? It was addressed to us that the two lots, lot A and B, were going to be subdivided off and remain or be basically developed as residential. This was in regards to Ms. McNaughton and her concerns being surrounded by commercial property. Okay? We were told that lot B, the C1 area, was too small to do commercial development anyways, because the C1 portion of it was less than an acre. So what I don't understand is now this project's in front of us and we're trying to hang that C1 on there. Myself, I would almost agree that or think that it might need to go to the zoning board first and have that made into a residential lot. I don't see how you develop that under an acre as a C1.
And we're not sure that people would do that, but that's not something we're creating. And I've seen lots that are less than an acre in C1. I mean, it's not unheard of that there would be a commercial lot that uses less than an acre.
I see what you're saying, Derek. The subdivision of lot B off of C is not creating a small C1 portion.
Right, right.
Because on the client it's doing that.
Yeah.
But in effect, it's bifurcated. It's just not a lot line, it's a zoning line.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's nothing that says that's an undersized lot. I mean, I'll go to the map, and that is zoning administrator. That's not an undersized lot. It meets the requirement for zoning.
I saw you back at your letter here, and you did indicate, I thought, that with both these lots would be residential. That's why
I think you're right, I did say that.
And you got the proposed well for this building on the R2 side of the line.
Which I think is okay. I think it's just the use that couldn't be there. I think the septic in the well could be up.
That's correct.
How hard would it be to get bearings?
The corrective action here that's most preferred is to shift the zoning district boundary so this lot is all in R2. That would be the best thing to do. A use variance would be, it's very, very difficult to do.
So would the process be to change the zoning?
They have to appeal to the town board. It's a legislative action. Town board responsibility.
And I think that one of the things they had done that before on this parcel, and that did not do well at all.
Well, no. The reason why it didn't do well is they were attempting to expand the C1 boundary a little bit, and the neighborhood did not like that at all. Here, you would be expanding the R2 district, and I don't think you'd have any resistance to that at all.
They should be taking that triangle there and turning it into R2.
Correct. And that's what was discussed the last time we looked at this.
When we were looking at 5 lots, we had 2 more lots that were in to between B and C. So part of C went away and turned into 2 additional lots.
Yes.
And I met with Jim, talked about changing the zone. We came up with a location for the zone line would be the most acceptable to everyone. And the owner just, had bad taste in his mouth with the previous one. And would, he would grant them that, and if somebody buys that and they would like to put a small commercial in there, then I don't think there's any problem with that. There's nothing really talking here. And if somebody buys it, they'd like it to be residential, they could go get a variance from the town board or have that zone change.
Yeah, when you say that you don't feel that commercial lot or that commercial designation is an undersized lot, do you mean that it meets all the necessary or could meet all the necessary setbacks for C1?
Yeah, I think you could fit a building on there that meets he's got it shown there. There's a 50-foot setback required. That building as drawn meets it. And the lot, by definition, is 3 acres in size. The definition of a lot is not the area within a zoning district.
Okay.
Again, that's why, I mean it when I say it. It's very instructive as to the pitfalls that come with split zoning lots.
Hey, Gordon, what are you going to do? Don't let everybody have it once.
You You want me to answer that, Pete, or?
Anybody.
And the question in front of us is, do we want to, I mean, first, I believe the elephant in the room is, are we willing to waive the public hearing?
I would think a public hearing would be warranted in this case.
Would you like that in the form of a motion?
I'd like something in the motion.
I'm sorry?
Do I hear the consensus that I'm seeking a motion to schedule a public hearing for sewer involving developers and investors, whatever this was, through lot subdivision?
Are there other things that need to be done with this plat first?
Is there a reason for a public hearing that would have been different if there was residential?
I mean, I think either way I would suggest that there should be a public hearing. I think there's a lot going on in this neighborhood, including your proposal and the interchange, which is about to be reconfigured. And you're on a very busy road next to a state park. I think those are reasons for public hearing. I know a neighbor who obviously had an opinion previously.
And to be honest with you, because it is in the C1, it automatically triggers a public hearing.
Okay, then. I thought all subdivision plans had to go.
So do we have a motion for a public hearing on this proposal?
I have a motion from John.
I can do that. That'll be my motion. I make a motion that we schedule a public hearing for this proposal next month at 7:05.
Five.
I second that motion.
Motion's been made. You second? We just had a second?
Who is that?
I seconded it.
Yeah.
I can't tell the two ladies apart.
Yeah? Okay. I get confused. Motion's been made. You second. Any further discussion? If not, I don't really think this was too controversial. All those in favor, aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Was there any other comments that I needed to take care of?
Say what?
I think it looks good, Gary.
Yeah, it's a very well put together plan.
Okay. Okay, so we need to put signs up, right?
Yes.
And do we need signs on both roads? There's only 60 feet, and it's not accessible on Spire Falls.
And no.
No, I...
No, Spire Falls, no.
Okay, just that old circle.
Old circle, okay. And... Turn it over to your plate, Mr. Robinson. Do you have any questions of us? Other than what you're doing this week?
No, I think we're good. I think we'll probably discuss it and see if we're thinking that we may have to change zoning, then you never know, we may come back with five of us.
I can tell you, Gary, and to the benefit of Terry being on, that's not a big change to make, you know. I mean, I don't see that being bogged down. I think it would be a relatively, you know, it just be something that goes along, they schedule a public hearing, it would be done. I don't see there's a lot of controversy with that change going to R2.
I understand that the issue is time. Wasn't the actual doing it and taking the time to do it. It was that we would like to get a three lot subdivision and then address that after.
Well, it's unfortunate that, you know, because we last looked at this in June, had that been done straight away, it would have been done by now.
Maybe.
I think it could have.
But we'll see you next month anyway. And we'll get the sign out there and Thanks. Appreciate it.
Oh, we're always happy to see you, Mr. Rose.
Okay. We'll see you. Are you going to have real meetings next month or what?
I don't know. This is the new real.
This is the new real. Okay. All right. Next slide, gentlemen and ladies.
Thank you, Gary.
The next item on the agenda for this evening is written in our world. We have someone else.
Yes. We have three people, actually. We've got Owen Spolstra from EDP. Are you on, Owen?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right.
Perfect. And we have Bob Bittengill, and I think we have John Munter as well.
I'm on for North. This is John Munter. I'm on for Northway Animal, not for.
Oh, okay. Sorry. All right. Then I'm gonna mute you, John. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'll be back to you in a minute. And men are speaking. All right, so we have Owen and Bob to launch this application.
Tell us the story. What are we doing?
All right, again, I'm Owen. We're going to be talking about the design. And Jim Staley, we have Bob Bittengill on here with us also. He's the applicant. We're here to discuss the project. I answer any questions you might have. The proposal is for a three-lot commercial subdivision at 1377 and 1377 Route 9, or the west side of Route 9. The site was previously to keep the car ownership and a car owner. The three-lot is ranging from just over 2 acres for lot 1.9 acres for lot 2, and around 1.2 acres for lot 3. An access road is also proposed. It would be at the existing signal light intersection of Route 9 and Reynolds Road. This, of course, would provide access to the proposed lot, as well as a parcel behind the site, the northwest corner of the site, allowing potential future users of that parcel access to the signal light intersection at Route 9. Proposed lot would be connected to sewer and water. Pull the sewer near there. And, you know, the planning shows tonight shows a lot now, but also has a potential fill that scenario on one of the each lot, either of course, has to come back and do it for individual site plan or legal approval once they're at that stage. And when we're here to answer any questions you might have and move this subdivision board approval as part of the case tonight. And with that, I'll open up to the board. And if Mr. Bittengill has anything further to add, you can add to the description.
Okay. Am I understanding this correctly? That you are creating lots.
Correct.
The occupants on there have not been determined that it will be anything that conforms to the current zoning, and you are here strictly to make lots.
That's correct.
Board, question. Come on, I'm going to play it somehow.
Is this going to be a town road?
Yes, this will be dedicated town road at some point.
So, with that, we're going to put in utilities and all that?
Yes, there will be, you know, water sewer brought up that.
Okay, what concerns me is right now it has road frontage on Route 9. Your lot number 2 will not have that once you subdivide this. So So I don't know where the water boundaries are, the sewer boundaries are of the district. So I don't know if that's going to kick Lot 2 out of the sewer district and the water district. So we need to define some boundary lines. I'm not sure where they are for the water and the sewer. The water, I think I know we're okay, but I'm not 100% sure. It's been a little bit since I've seen that. The sewer, I have no idea. So with it being on Route 9, the first two lots, I believe, are in the sewer district. What I'm concerned about is once we put a town road in here, is that it'll kick Lot 2 out of those districts, and then you're looking into a district extension and da-da-da-da, I don't know how that goes. Those are my concerns.
This is Jim. The suggestion I have is that the access drives for lots 2 and 3 should be combined into one at the property boundary, so we only have one curb cut serving those two lots in a shared approach.
Okay. Get into those details and get your guys to have chances to pound out the details during the review of those sites. I don't know if there's something as well or not, but we're here to discuss it. So.
Yeah, and I understand your point, and I think that is an issue that should enter into the subdivision because, how this plat is recorded and what's shown is going to factor into the site planning to follow, and particularly when it comes to the permitting of the access point on that new town road. It'll be a good reference point going forward. My other question was, have you had any discussion with DOT about bringing a new road to that traffic signal?
We have not yet. It's still pretty preliminary stage, so we will start the discussion shortly.
Because I think it's going to be fairly involved, and depending on what they say, they could require a new signal at that location.
Jim, this is Bob speaking.
Yep.
That's already set up for the signal coming out of there.
Okay.
That's the time.
All right. And then the other thing on water and sewer, I don't know what, I think it's a great idea, and I applaud you for providing the access to the bigger parcel in the rear and the need for water and sewer. There's got to be some discussion of how that water and sewer is sized in consideration of the use that could be in the back there. It could be a sizable demand for water and sewer, so that pipe that goes in that new access way might have to be really thought through in terms of what dimension it is and what capacity it has.
It's four-main sewer, right? Isn't it all four-main?
You know better than I about that. So.
Yeah, it's all four-main right now. I believe the whole system is so it would be a four-main. Unless they want to grab the feed into it again, I guess that would be an engineer decision.
Yeah. You could have a sizable water and sewer need there in the back.
Right. Yeah. That was my concern about the extensions.
I think looking at the tax map earlier, that long attack, I'll put it in the finger that goes out to Route 9. I don't know if that's a possibility that, their sewer might go through that area. These are all details that need to be pounded out.
Well, your intention is to run a water and sewer line to that hammerhead and stop it off, right?
That would be for Mr. McGill to talk about. Bob, did you have discussions about that?
I did not yet. I did talk to the engineer from LaVerge today and discussed the three lots. He had the map, and he was doing, all the easement work and all of that today.
Let Bob, did he say anything about that lot number two being outside the water for the sewer district or water district? Do you know the boundaries there? I don't know them.
We did not get into that, no.
I think that's real important before you break this out. To make sure that lot two will be in that district because of the road frontage. I'm not sure what the details are, how they work that out. If you're talking to LaVerge, you may want to make sure that you're going to be able to get sewer there.
Yeah.
And looking at this map, in the western property boundary there, I see there's like this little sliver of a area left there. Is that actually a tiny, narrow, tiny little lot?
Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah. I'd have to get something off the patch and have to look. I'll have to look at that to observe it.
That's weird.
Possible we could eliminate one of those on Route 9?
what Katie's called, right?
Yeah, I mean, all this is not involved for our DOT at work.
This is Bob speaking. That's been there for 20 years.
Well, yeah, as you said as well, though, that this intersection is already signalized so that it would accommodate the new access road as well?
Correct. It's signalized for that new road that's going in already. Just have to program it.
Yeah, I understand trying to get rid of any additional curb cuts, but I think in the end that would be up to the DOT to determine the curb cuts they want to allow or not.
Okay, because that's a state road.
Yeah.
Right.
What would happen time this change. The site was over-designed to the point where these very minor changes would not bring a negative value to any of the stormwater calculations. To fixture count on the interior of the building that would impact the size of the septic system, parking spaces will be equal to the same amount that are present today, basically by changing the size to what the size that's there now is a very generous size parking space. So the parking spaces are going to be changed down to what the regulated size of a parking space is. So there isn't any additional pavement required. Stormwater system of the existing site has been working very well. Septic system has been working very well. So again, we didn't see any reason to make any changes to any of the existing systems present. So, pretty simple look at this here. Just at this point, I turn it over to the board for any questions.
Well, John, do you know the exact dimensions of the parking spaces that you're going to end up with?
9 by 18.
Okay, so you said that you brought it down to the regulated sizes, but I'm not sure what town that regulated it 9 by 18.
Okay.
So our code actually calls for 200 square feet, I believe.
Yes, so.
On top of that, you have four of them listed as compact. What's that designation?
That would probably be a better question for the site planner, but that would most likely be like a compact car, which would be, you know, just a smaller car.
So then we could assume that those spaces are even smaller than 9 by 18?
I believe they are. It might just be a little bit shorter. Not narrow by scale.
You've also moved the disabled parking, and it looks like it's shown a ramp that then allows the disabled people to come into the building at the end as opposed to the main entrance. Is that what the plan is?
That's existing.
That's existing?
Yes.
Okay, so how does disabled parking is on the closer to the main entry on the other side?
It'll actually be closer to where it's being moved to.
Okay, so where they are parking, they will go back to the main entrance.
There's two ways into the building. So the parking, the ramp in, which would be to the west of the new parking spaces for the handicap.
Yeah.
Getting closer. Either way, it's about the same. I wouldn't say there's any major difference in distance from the handicapped parking spaces to the entrance. Pretty much centered in the building.
I don't believe that we have, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe we have in our code any provision to downsize a parking. parking space for combat vehicles?
No, we do not.
We do not.
And those combat spaces are narrower too.
And because they had combat spaces on the original site plan, they were just on the other, on the east side of the building. So it looks like they moved the combat spaces where the handicap spaces were, and vice versa.
Yeah. I don't, when the site planner is the Ken Northrup, who's the site planner from Northfield Engineering, he's the brother of the manager, Sierra Earle. So when this change came up, and he said you're going to probably lose a few parking spaces, have you had any issues with quantity of vehicles? You know, have you ever had an instance where there weren't enough parking spaces? And she couldn't recall that. I've kind of looked at it ever since this idea came up, driving by there several times, and I didn't ever see a day where they had a full parking lot. They were usually about 50%. So, I don't think parking at this facility is, this change isn't going to manifest greater need for parking. If anything, I would have said leave the amount of space that you originally had the same. Leave the same configuration and just take a few away. Because I don't think they're ever really struggling for having enough parking, or a lack of parking. So moving the handicap spaces so that they're properly sized, leaving the rest of them normal size would have been my suggestion, but I'm not the site planner. So.
Board, any other questions? Comments? Concerns?
I'd personally rather see a fewer parking spots that meant the 200 square foot. If it meant that we were dealing with fewer spots, I'd be okay with that. That's me.
Well, I'm going to say our zoning doesn't allow for compact spaces that are less than 9 feet wide, and they don't allow for regular spaces that are 9 feet wide unless they're 23 feet long. So what we like or don't like doesn't change unless they don't put the zoning board and try to get a variance, I guess, for parking size.
Well, my point is I would sooner see the quantity of parking spots reduced by 2 or 3 and have them be the 200 square feet so that they're functional.
So the reason that we have this reduction is because they eliminated, I think it's 5 spaces. Basically, was replaced by making the original parking spaces smaller so they can get more in. But I understand what you're saying, Jerry. It's one of the
things. Yeah,
hello?
I got 20 spots that are 18 feet wide. Or, I'm sorry, 9 feet wide. That's 180 feet. So if I make it 10 feet wide, I get 18 parking spots.
Well, I just did the math on the 18 there along Fawn Road. And if you make them 10 feet wide, it goes down to 16. So you lose 2 through that section. And I didn't do the math on the rest of them, but you're probably going to lose 4 or 5 spaces by making this correct. And that would be my recommendation, that they be 10 foot wide and you lose the spaces. If it's absolutely critical, he's got room to expand the parking lot.
Yeah. There's ample space, should it become necessary.
But I agree, the spaces should be compliant at 10 by 20.
But he's got 20 parking spots along Fawn Road, and they're 9 feet wide, that's 180 feet.
Well, he's got 18.
Got 20.
I'm looking at the...
Looking at the new plan.
Oh, the new plan.
Sheet 2. 20 Calico Sheet 2 is what it's going to become. That's Sheet 1, the existing site demo plan. You got to go Sheet 2 for what he's proposing.
Well, then I guess I don't understand why... Then he just leaves the parking, the 18 spots as they are. They appear to be at 10 foot wide.
I see what you're saying, Jerry. So I think what Jerry's saying is he's got 27 regular size spaces. If he's eliminating capacity, eliminating from the addition, and each wall is staying 10 by 20 spots.
By the calculation, he needs 26, so he's still all right in terms of the required amount.
Right.
That's good.
So we can, I can have Mr. Morrison change the drawing. Basically, the parking spaces along Long Road aren't going to change. That's one of the main 18 spaces. I'd have them change the plan to show the remainder at the required minimum for your requirement. He must not have looked up Monroe, and he's looking up Saranac Lake, such as a song. But I could have him change the remainder, make sure, obviously, that the handicap spaces meet all the ADA requirements. I think we'll still be within the town's requirement for the amount of parking spaces required.
Require a public hearing for Northway Animal Emergency Clinic site plan modification.
Myself, I don't see any purpose to it. It's a small change, and it's not a change of use in any way.
Thank you, John.
Is that real? Is that a form of a motion?
We need to waive it.
I don't think so. I mean, this is back because it's a modification of a site plan. The public hearing is not required. It's at your discretion if you want to have another one, but it's not required. This is simply here because it's a modification of your previously approved plan.
I guess I will not take the motion that we have a public hearing.
I'll see the need for one.
I'm here.
Peter, what they're saying is you only make a motion if you think there's one required. This is not a typical, because it's a modification.
Black motion. Your consensus that there's no public hearing? And I didn't have to look that last one up. And that's why it's basic. Or any further questions, comments, concerns?
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to grant conditional approval of the site plan contingent upon the reconfiguration of the parking spots to be both the size and quantity required by the code.
I think Eric, can you second it?
Yeah, I'll second that again.
Okay.
Motion has been made and seconded to grant approval after modifications to the submitted drawing from Northway Animal Emergency Clinic for the site plan modifications. Any further discussion?
Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Mr. Bergman?
Yes.
Mr. Shaver?
Yes.
Ms. Perdue?
Yes.
Mrs. Mathias?
Yes.
Chairman?
Aye. Mr. Carries?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
You too.
We'll try to confuse you next time. Mr. Martin, do you have anything for us?
No, the first draft of the zoning is going to be out to you in a week. I told you it would be this month, and you'll have it this month.
Okay, I'm over with these guys. I'm going to make a motion for the chairman and one member to sign the my office when presented.
I second that.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Motion carried.
Good night, everyone.
We'll have another motion.
Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
Second.
Motion to be seconded. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor, aye.
Good night.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Good night, everybody.